Happy to be in church. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We thank God for how he has started with us. Thank God also for evangelism that we went out for earlier this morning. I hope I won't take too much time because I know I'm considering that, you know, we've walked around, so I might be tired. So I hope I won't. My plan is not to take too much time. Amen. Thank you so much, Indifreke. Thank you so much, Dick Paul, for that powerful word. That was a very true word, you know. And I'm so happy with how, you know, one thing that gives me so much joy is the confidence with which you guys talk about Jesus. It's very inspiring, you know. Eventually it would bleed into, or eventually to affect the confidence with which you also talk about maybe money or something like that, you know. It always affects your career or your business. But that one is a side thing, you know. There are many people that are confident in that one that either don't know Jesus or cannot boldly talk about Jesus. And the ease with which you guys have been graced by God is truly remarkable. Yeah. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
It's truly remarkable. Where is Christabel? Huh? Oh, I didn't see her. The ease with which you guys boldly confess Jesus is truly remarkable. Of course, you don't know how easy, you don't know the miracle of it. And I was talking to one of you today, and I was telling him that you guys are going to be so rich. I just said it casually, you know. You guys are going to be so wealthy. And the way you become wealthy, to be normal to you, to just be like, you know, because this environment, so to you, it's like you're doing a normal thing, you know. And it's good that it's that way, you know. But because me, I'm not like you, I'm looking at it from the outside. I'm like, wow, this is not, it's not normal. You know, this can only be by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So I'm thanking God for your lives, you know. And the future is bright. Where is this guy? This guy and his sister. Is it Chinedu or so? Do you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Is it gospel? Huh? God's will. Yeah, yeah. Do you know where he is? Huh? Okay. And you know, God has so many plans for us. I tell you the truth, God has so many plans for us, you know. Kingsley, why are you frowning now? You're not frowning, I smile now. You're sitting at the front, I need you to be smiling. Be like Major. You know, Major is smiling a lot. It's a smile now. You don't want to smile. Ah. Many people, your face is hard though. My face is harder than some adults. But it's fine. So, God has so many plans for all of us. Plans that, you know, when God is moving, it'll always be somehow. It'll be like he's not, you might miss it, you know, because it will look normal or it could look off from what you expect. But I tell you the truth, God is moving and God has so many plans for us, you know. And I'm so happy. I'm happy with the plans that God has for you guys. It gives me joy. Amen.
Amen.
So today we'll be looking at, like I said, I hope It's already 1:52. I hope I can finish quickly. Because I want the team to meet. The ministry team and the HODs. I want us to meet after service. So even myself, I want to finish on time so that we'll go home and we'll have time so that people can go for glory home. So today we'll be talking about pursuing perfection. Are we together? What did I say? Pursuing perfection. Also, for the Summer Academy, we'll probably say during the announcement, but for the Summer Academy, we're going to be closing registration this Wednesday, the 10th. So the last day of the fast is when we'll be closing registration. So I hope all of us have registered. If you've not registered, please, don't come down there and say, I'm a church member. You might meet the wrong person that day. You know. So please register. Also, your friends, anybody that is perambulating, you know, or wasting time, just tell them to register because by Wednesday we'll close the registrations. And then I want to teach this. Then after I teach, I'll give us some information on how we are going to be running our church services while this building project is going on. You know, we're going to be from next week. Next week will be the last Saturday that we'll meet in this building. Are you guys aware? You guys should be aware now. Okay. Some of you are not aware. Okay. So next week will be the last Saturday that we'll meet in this building. After next week, by the 15th, I mean Monday or so, that's next week after that, we'll demolish this place and then we'll build. Yeah, you can say. Okay. So it's a church project. So so we're going to, obviously we can't say because it's building, it's not holiday. You know, church is not holiday, please. Don't be imagined, I'll not rest. You know, that's a very, I rebuke that over your life, you know. So, in fact, we're going to go harder. You know, so let us know how you should get ready. You'll be very excited. If you have passion for Jesus, you'll be very excited. You know, so I'll let us know how we're going to be meeting during that time. So that'll be the last thing I'll say. I'll teach this thing. Then we'll talk about that briefly. Whatever, I might just be mentioning it as I'm preaching stuff. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for blessing us with your presence, Lord. We thank you for being with us today. Lord, I ask that as we look into your word, that you shall be magnified in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, you will be magnified, be bigger than every idol, be bigger than every stronghold in our minds. We pull down every stronghold in the mind, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 How far are you traveling stuff? What's? You're still waiting, okay. What favor? She's in school. She's on her way. Is she on her way because of this? Okay. Is it cold? It's cold. I think the AC is in all the ACs, almost all the ACs are on. So perhaps we should turn some off. I think we should turn this one off. We should turn this one because this one is. Please, if it's cold, you can talk now. You know, you shouldn't wait till the preacher says, is it cold? You know, you can. The ministry team, please, let's note that. Let's be. You get my point. So why is she coming? She's coming generally. Okay. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, God has plans for a lot of us. God has plans for all of us, actually. Everybody, God has plans for everybody. But Okay. I got a message from Favor. I thought it was... I went to check it. As I saw business, it is well. As I was checking, I was like, maybe she's sending me text that she's on her way or something. But it is well. It is well. We thank God. Our business will grow and prosper. All right, let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 7, verse 13. Are you ready to hear the word of God?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's cool. You guys are not ready. Are you ready to hear the word of God?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's cool. That's cool. You know, one of the let's read it. I'll read it and say it. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Now, just stop here. So Jesus is saying, what Jesus is saying is obvious, but you know, you need to sit back and think about what he's really saying. What are the implications of what he's saying? You know, Jesus is saying that there is a narrow gate, or rather, enter by the narrow gate. Let's go back a little bit so that we can get the full context. Let's read from, this full context, if you want to start, we'll start from chapter 5, because it's a whole preaching. It's a very long preaching that he was preaching. Let's start with, it's hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, please stop here. This is not what I wanted to say, but as I saw it, you know, something just jumped to me. So, you know, you need to learn how to, as a young person, be deliberate in what you want to get. Are we together?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
many of us are too timid, and because of our timidity, we lose out of what God wants to give us. Okay? So, the way to get something is to ask. The way to find something is to look for it. If you want a door to be opened up to you, you have to knock. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So you need to be deliberate. Don't wait for people to come and do things for you. Are we together?
Sir.
If you need a job, ask around, who has a job to give me? You can say, church, please, I want to give special announcement. I want to give special announcement. You come on the, please, who has a job to give me? I'm looking for a job. Yeah, you can do that. I'm telling you, that day you'll find a job. Are we together? You need to be deliberate. Don't wait for things. Don't be, you know, it's a very carnal thing. To not be able to go ahead and get something done. It's very carnal, where you're just waiting. You get, you'll be hungry, you'll just be there. You'll be wishing, hope you will see me. <You know? laughs> Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
Sir.
All right. Let's continue. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks, you know one of the reasons why you should be able to, I tell you the truth, you should be able to, and that's why I said, you know, it's one of the reasons why I said earlier that you should be very, I'm very happy that you have the confidence to talk about Jesus. The reason is that, one of the reasons is that if you can talk about Jesus, or if you can represent Jesus, and if you interact with Jesus, there's no man you should be afraid of. If you're doing it well, you shouldn't be afraid of men. Are we together? Huh? Now, many people are afraid of men. But you see, there's nothing to be afraid of. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? Because a lot of us, part of the reasons why we don't like approaching people is that we are afraid of men. If you see Bika, you just be humble. Which is carnality. You get my point? Are we together? You get my point, right? It's carnality. Huh? You should be able to stand before the president of Nigeria and preach Jesus. Not that you stand before the president and your mouth will be shaking. Amen.
Amen.
At your age, I'm not talking about adults, at your age, you should be able to stand before any human being and say your mind, say your opinion, pick your words carefully and talk. You get? I'm always shocked whenever maybe at work I go to present to maybe one board of one company, you know, and then the people that brought us there, they be like, you know, yeah, are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. They're like, da, you know. And then we'll go and we'll come out. And then I remember some weeks ago, somebody said, it's like you're used to talking to C-level people. I don't know what you're talking about. In my mind, that's what I said, you know. It's human being. You get? Huh? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Is it a shame that you cannot preach to white people? You see, white man, you would change your... Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You should be able to preach to white people. You should be able to talk to people. Because you will need to. Some of you are going to... God is going to send you out to where you did not plan to go to. Amen. Huh? God will send you to where you did not plan to go to. So, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Let's go on. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Huh? So you need to, and that's why you need to learn how to ask God for things. It's just that a lot of us, the things we ask God for are pointless things. Which is also part of what I want to talk about today in the issue of perfecting, pursuing perfection, I believe. The problem with our asking is that we're asking amiss. Many people ask for pointless things, ask for things that don't matter. Hallelujah. But when you learn how to ask God for things, the asking will be more audacious. It's more bombastic. You know, it'll be more jim-jim. You get? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Hallelujah. Now, this is a very depressing thing to hear from Jesus. Okay? You need to understand the... If Jesus was preaching it to you, yeah, I mean, just imagine now. This is the original, you know, hard preaching of all of you are not going to make heaven. Imagine now I'm telling you now that all this crowd, you know, maybe your lecturer comes and tells you the truth that actually this might cause out of these 100 people, maybe only 5 will get A. You know, that's the kind of message that he's preaching, you know, that in the journey of life, It is not a popularity contest. Are you guys hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
What did I say? Why is the way that leads to destruction? Why do many people go in it? Why do many people go in it? Who can think of a reason why many people go in it? Based on your understanding of human nature, who can think of one reason? Okay, give.
It's comfortable, it's easier.
It's easier, yes. Yeah. Okay. Go back to that 13. Any other person? Go back to verse 13. Okay. Any other person? Why do you think it is? Okay, Major. Who is the mic person now? No. That's inappropriate. It's fine, but don't do it that way next time. You do it the proper way.
Okay, so I think that some people are looking for a shortcut to what they want. So they go there.
Yeah, that's correct too. What Deepa said is also correct. Yeah, Joshua. Wow, you don't need, you know, the voice is anointed.
All right, praise God. So I feel like it can also be pressure because, like you said, people like to associate themselves with where there's a crowd.
Mm.
So it can be that pressure of wanting to be along. So it's just easier to blend in, basically.
Have you ever heard gunshot and you started running and you did not know why you heard the gunshot? Has anybody been in that situation? You just saw people running. You know. Now when you see people running, what's your first instinct? Just to run, I mean. You don't even know why you're running. You know, I was seeing Ify, she posted a video on her status. You don't see people running. Where you're running to, you don't know. Why you're running, you don't know. But you have heard, and there will always be that one person that will not hit metal. You'll not be like, bah! You know, it will increase the fear in the environment. Now, human beings have behaved like, it's called herd mentality. We have a herd mentality. Many people do things because people do them, not because they want to do them or they've thought about doing them. You know, it guides the way we live. If you think about it, the dresses you really want to wear or the shoe you really want to wear, the reason why you want to wear it is because other people are wearing it. Have you now? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. If something is attracting you, a lot of times, especially on vain, superficial things, a lot of times, what is really attracting you is the feeling of being among. So this thing that is broad and that is leading to destruction, that's why he said there are many who go in by it. It's speaking about the context of that herd mentality in the sense that it's leading to destruction, but many people will be on that path because that is where people are. So people assume that where people are is where God is. Are we together? I guess you understand what I'm saying. All right. So you cannot judge the way of life based on the number of people in the place. Are we good? Are you understanding what I'm saying? What did I say? Yeah. You can't judge whether you're on the right path or on the wrong path based on the number of people on that path. The number of people on that path is not a determinant of whether it is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. I mean, I've seen, if you live long enough, you'll see it too. But I've seen the professions that parents want their children to do, it has changed. Once upon a time, it was only three things you could do in Nigeria. Lawyer, doctor, engineer. And if you want to study anything outside that, you're a failure. You know, you have failed this family. You get. And because of that, I remember when they asked me, when many years, when I was like, maybe like 8 or 10, what do you want to be? I said, doctor. I don't said it because that's what you had to say. You understand? And I, for a while, I was even believing the hype. You know, just that Wyke didn't agree with me. You know? But for a while, I was believing the hype that, yeah, you know, doctor. I remember when my mom told, you know, after God had dealt with me and us, we humbly understood better. And so my mom is still of that generation. So, you know, when she'll be talking to her friends that my son is now studying mathematics in the university, her friend will tell her, what will he... is there a job for that? Oh, God. Amen. And that whole thing was just a very foolish... I tell you, human beings are so foolish. I tell you the truth, you know. Now, the new one now is tech. Huh? Now, there's nothing really wrong. When people are saying do lawyer, doctor, engineer, it's not like they are unwise. They're not really unwise, you know. It's just that, you know, that's not the whole picture. But there's actually a human wisdom in it. Now, even the one now that everybody wants to do tech, you know, everybody's doing tech. It's the same thing. Are we together? Yes, it changes. Amen. It changes. So, you can't judge the viability of what God will have you do with your life based on what people are saying, based on how it's looking like. You need to have another parameter of judgment. You need to have another way of thinking about it. Another kind of knowledge has to be applied here. If you want me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So life is not a popularity contest. Can you tell your neighbor, life is not a popularity contest? Can you tell your neighbor again, life is not a popularity contest? Yeah. It's one of the things that you need to install in your heart. You need to install it. For example, many people leave their church because there's now a new church in town. The number of people that live where God put them. Huh? Are we together? God will put you somewhere, you will leave it. Because there's now a new church in town. It's something that we see in many areas of life. So even those things that you're claiming are spiritual, they could be guided by the same principle. But you need to understand that life is not a popularity contest. Hallelujah. I don't know where we got this idea that for you to prosper, you need to go to a big man's church. It's a very strange idea. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, for you to prosper now, you need to go to a church where there are rich people. It's false. Is if it is true, the word of God is a lie. I guess you mean. I don't know. I don't know. Do people see this church as a rich people's church? I don't know, because to me, I'm just a normal person, but I don't know how people perceive all these things. You know, I really don't know. Maybe when you see all the cars, and you might think that, you know. So let's go to 14. Maybe it's the AC. You know, Nigeria, we're suffering too much. Anywhere there's AC, they are rich. you know. Are we rich? Are we poor? I'm not poor, no. So, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Hallelujah. So you need to have an appreciation for what is valuable outside of numbers, you know. You need to have an eye to see value outside of popularity. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
I'm still going to pursuing perfection. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. I need to have eyes for going beyond what is popular. Kingsley, stay with me, stay with me. Stay with me. You know. I know today is teaching day, so it's like, it's boring. You know, I'm just talking, but stay with me. So, we need to find, what did I say? What did I say last? Jason, what did I say last? You see, you can't remember. Yeah. Yeah, you tried. You were asleep. This guy, you're good. So, we need to find value in that narrow way. We need to understand, you know, we need to be able to spot value. And we need to find it, you know. Because I tell you the truth, the extra ginger around a thing does not determine whether God is there. It also doesn't determine if that thing is ultimately going to aid you in your destiny. Hallelujah. So you need to be able to spot value. You need to be able to have discernment. Okay? What did I say? Have discernment. Have discernment. Be able to spot things. You're not dumb. Tap your head. I'm not dumb. I'm not dumb. Yeah. You need to be able to spot value. Are we together? You need to be able to spot value. Amen.
Amen.
Tell you the truth. You need to be able to spot value. You get? Not that the guy that God will send your way will come and toast you and then you'll be looking for, I don't know, maybe Mercedes. Because you need to drive Mercedes Benz, you'll be like, you're not who God wants me to marry. You know. Hallelujah. Are we together? I don't go about marriage because, I mean, it's not like, it's better to talk about it now because, I mean, what better time? Okay? I mean, I don't believe that there's not one person here that doesn't have a crush on somebody else in this church. Everybody has. It's just not, it hasn't manifested yet. You know, so we need to talk this thing so that it won't manifest the wrong way. You get? Some of you have already dreamt dream. Some of you have already dreamt dream. You know. Some of you have. I don't know how many girls Chine do. I don't know how many. I can't say. I don't know how many girls have dreamt about you. It might be 5. I really don't know. You know. So, you need to, if you are dreaming for Chinedu now, and then, you know, the person that God wants you to marry is not as tall as he is, you need to be able to spot value. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You need to be able to spot value. So, life is not a popularity contest. That's the first thing I want to say. Can we say it together?
Life is not a popularity contest.
Yeah, it's not a popularity contest. Huh? It is not. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 7. This is Matthew 7 from verse 24. Please stay with me, or don't sleep. I hope you're not disappointed. Okay. Stay with me, please. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. 25. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and it was, and great was its fall. Now, we all read this thing, but everybody knows about this thing. So, the second thing I want to say, foundation, before we go full on into the topic, the first thing is, life is not a popularity contest, Abi. The second thing is that you need to appreciate the work it takes to build a foundation. Okay? Because you build foundation on ground that is not easy. In other words, it's difficult to build a foundation. You're building it on a rock. Amen. Amen. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine, you know, this bricklayer work, trying to do that work on a rock? Have you ever thought about it that way? You know, it's easy to build a house on sand. If you want to build a house on sand, you can just carry wood, just, you know, it will enter the ground easy. Abina?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
But the foundation, the work of building that makes sure that the house is solid, is more difficult. It takes more effort. And you need to appreciate that. What did I say? Need to appreciate it. It takes more effort. It requires a lot of construction work. But it pays off in the end because whenever the storms come, it will last. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
People don't understand this thing. That's why they play with youthful ministry. Let me call it that way. Because it's easy to just give up and just say, well, these people are serious. Let's just give them what they like. Abina. All will happen is that those same people will turn to your greatest mistake. Okay? Most of the people giving us trouble in the church today are former church people. Or let me put it this way. Most of the people insulting the church today is not genuine unbeliever. It's Christian that is no longer a Christian, but at times he thinks they're a Christian. Those are the people giving us, all the people insulting us on Twitter and all this. They're former church people. Some of them are my friends. I know them. I know this. I went to preach, you know, during today's evangelism, I went to preach to one man. The man started preaching to us that what all these pastors are doing is not what Jesus said that I should do. Jesus said we should not have church. Yeah. Yes, he said it. Yeah. That Jesus during his time was attacking the people in synagogue, you know, and that we should not have church. Everybody should just know God themselves. And if you love, if you read the Bible, everything, if you know God, you know. And the man said something, at the point in time, I was just nodding my head, but I was like, it's like this is a wasted ground. Let me just gather us and leave this place, you know. But I had to be polite. I couldn't just, because he's an elderly man. And he said something. It didn't strike me as anything because I understand it, but he said something. He said that, you know, you young people, I appreciate you young people. Me, he said, when I was your age, I was doing the same thing. You know? And that's what he said. You know, it didn't strike me as anything, but I just said, Aviv, we thank you, sir, for hearing us. Let's go. You know? But that's what he said. What he said, he doesn't understand what he said. You know, he thinks he understands what he said, but is it when you don't have foundation, when problem comes, you know, when plenty problem comes, you'll be swept away. You understand? If you know the amount of people insulting church now, that the reason, they will never tell you why they're insulting church. Nobody will ever tell you the issue that they have with church. Most people will say all these pastors are thieves. It's a lie. A lot of times, it's because they wanted to marry a second wife. They told them, you cannot marry a second wife. I tell you the truth. Are we together? Huh? A lot of times, it's because these people are useless people in their personal life. In fact, I don't want to start insulting personalities, but a lot of these people are useless people in their personal life. But then, don't be angry at her. She's playing. It's the Holy Ghost that's tickling her. So a lot of these people are useless people in life. And I mean it, I'm not joking. It happens when they're kids. But a lot of people are useless people in their personal life. And it's fighting, you know. Maybe they'll try and correct you, you say you're not doing it again. And then you turn to crusader. My point is that when there is no foundation, all this prayer now, they were saying we should pray. You know, they were saying you should read your Bible. Some of you are looking at us as if we don't know what we are talking about. Abi? Eventually, it will show who really has foundation and who does not have foundation. It will always show. It will always show. Are we together? What did I say? It's always sure. Who has foundation versus who does not have foundation? You get. And foundation work is not a sexy work. Where's Daniel? I saw Daniel. Are you listening to me? Okay. Please, let your face be looking at me. Foundation work is not an easy work. It's very methodical. It's very dry. You know, when we start building this place, now if you come maybe that first week, it looks like everywhere is so scattered. You know, you just see everything everywhere. But it's a very important work that needs to be done. Are we together? It needs to be done so that you will not be old and think that you have arrived, so that you will not, you know, but it needs to be done. And when it is done well, then your life is going to be certain. So, God's idea of you in terms of how he's blessing you is not primarily to give you money. Okay? It's to first build a foundation. Are we together? So, I've told you before, some of you are going to be broke for the next 5 years. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You get it. It's not demons. It's not village people. It's not Nigerian economy. Okay? Are we together? I hope you're not afraid, though. Because you know when we talk, there's nothing you can do about it. But God will be taking care of you. But this brokenness, it won't leave you. Get. But you'll be well treated. It's not like because you're broke, you'll not be looking like a tattered. That's not what I'm saying. Are we together? But you will be in this state for a while. Because what God is trying to do is that he's trying to work a proper foundation in you. And you better be fast though. So that's, if that thing originally was 3 years, let them know extend it to 6 years. I'm serious. You get, better be fast. You know, don't waste time. God has time. That's one thing he has. If you say you're not doing it, you continue with your children. You get, he has time. He's not going anywhere. Are we together? Yes, are we together? Yes, yeah. A lot of you, the prophecy that they are prophesying over you, they prophesy, it's just that your father has not told you. He's too ashamed. They prophesy the same exact thing to your dad when he was 25. Are we together? Yes, sir. Yeah? Just that he went to go and start doing Owambe too much and he forgot. Huh? Are we together? That's why you're not receiving dream. You know, you are going to China, Indonesia. You know, I tell you the truth, your mother had that same dream. You know, she will never tell you. Maybe because people don't talk like that, but you know, but she will never, they will never tell you. They will keep it. You know. But when they are talking to themselves in their bedroom, they'll be, you see what that boy is doing? That's where they will talk about it, but outside. No, they can't embarrass themselves. You have to be like your parents. Are we together? So that will not be your own story. Huh? Learn what God is teaching you now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now. Are we together? You know, there's someone here, you're a bit worried that you'll marry a useless man. The way your mother married a useless man. I want to tell you that it's not going to happen. Huh? What did I say? It's not going to happen. Amen. So, but the way it's not happen is that you have to, it's not about shining your eye. You know? If you shine your eye, you can still pick back markets if you shine your eye. The way it will not happen is that you build foundation. Let God change your mind. If God changes your mind, you will spot out no genuine daughter of God can be deceived by any man. It is impossible. I tell you, it is impossible. It is impossible. No car. Nothing can. It's impossible. If you get to a place in God, on your wedding day, on your wedding day, like you have to be being him. God will be telling you, you know I'm not in this thing. Yes. On that, it's not possible. Yes, you can't be deceived. Don't be scared about all these fake stories. They are fake stories. Maybe unbeliever came to church to deceive. It's fake. It's fake. They are not real Christians. It's not a ordinary prayer. You know, no matter how strong you are, you can't fake prayer. Yet. I thought you carry the guy. Let's go to prayer mountain. You will know who he is and what he's made up of. You can't fake prayer. You get it. Amen.
Amen.
So you need a foundation. Tap your neighbor and say,
You need a foundation.
Allow God build a foundation. Yeah, allow God build a foundation. If the foundation is there, you are fantastic. You're a very fantastic person. Now I judge you guys based on how well you are being built. I don't judge you guys based on how much money you are making. Are we together? I don't judge you based on how intelligent you are. You know, all of us are not intelligent at the same level. I mean human intelligence, I don't mean spiritual intelligence. All of us are not. You know, IQ is different. I don't even judge based on that. You know, I judge it based on the foundation. The only thing that lets me know that somebody here is going to be good is if they are applying themselves to the teachings. When I can see that, I'm okay. Are we good? If I can't see that, I'm alarmed. I'm like, God, you have to try and how can we reintroduce this thing? So that foundation is important because it's that foundation that we build everything on. It's that foundation. How do you know God? How do you see God? Who is God to you? Amen. Is God just something that you use to make money? Are you in this thing for money? I'm asking a question. Are you in this thing for money? Are you in this thing for fame? Okay? Can you allow God put you in wilderness for 10 years and just, you and God, just be enjoying yourself? No fame. All others will be having fame. It's just you and him. Huh? I think this should be like the, this should be like the 16th year that I've been born again. Are we listening? It should be the 16th year that I just got born. I just started preaching consistently every week last year. Okay? Throughout my entire Christian experience. Some of you yourself are already having more preaching time than I did when I was your age, you know. I mean, I was in Sunday school and, you know, Sunday school, maybe one or two days you'll take the class. But I mean, that was not like, that was, you know, maybe once in a while or something. And I just started preaching. So like maybe for like 14 years or so, I was just on my own. Huh? Are we together? And I used to think I had something to say. You know, when revelation is shocking you, you think you have something to say. How many of you understand that thing, that revelation will be shocking you? You know? You read Bible like, what? This is, you need to see this. Yeah. I don't know if you understand that thing. And then you get revelation and be like, ah, I can't wait. Let Sunday come. I will scatter. And you have your revelation. You come to church, your revelation, you go back with your revelation. Nobody will give you mic to talk. And then occasionally when they give you, that's what taught me about teaching, the teaching ministry, the teaching anointing. I understand it to a very large extent because that's actually my calling. I'm a pastor of this thing church by appointment, meaning they appointed me. They can change the appointments. They can fire me. They can relocate me, you know. But actually, spiritually, the one that is really Jim Jim like that is teaching. I really understand it. As when I understood it, that teaching is not a glamorous thing. It's a very dry thing. You have to be patient. Without patience, you can't understand God's mind. And without patience, you can't be a good teacher. You know, so you have to take your time. You have to explain it calmly. It's not about impressing people. It's about communicating well what God will have people hear. Are we together? So that was the foundation of... That was God laying a foundation for me. Please, I'm going somewhere. I hope you are with me. That was God laying a foundation for me. And so, even after the 1 year, you know, at times when you're deprived of something, Kingsley, I think you should rise up like a great man of God that you are. And you can piss around, you know. I know I was talking about how God, you know, kept me because he knew particularly that I had that lust for talking. The talking is a lust. You just want to be sharing. I have something to share, you know. It can be a lust. So God had to ensure that that foundation was properly built. In other words, that thing was fixed. And actually, you know, the thing has been so fixed that I don't even have any desire to talk much like that. I genuinely only try to say things when God wants me to say them. So I generally always say, God, what is it that you want to say? And I go ahead and I say that, you know. And even after all the time, it's not like now they've given me opportunity, I'll finish you people with with revelation. You know, I don't teach revelation. But see, we know things though, you know. I don't know if you remember that rev that Pastor Lalu gave. Holy, holy is the Lord God, you know. You know, we know things though that we are not bamboozling people out there. It doesn't mean that we don't know things. We know things though. If I said I want to start teaching Revelation now, I mean the book of Revelation. People are like, wow. We have rev in this church, you know. But you see, God has dealt with that thing, and I believe it has made me a more effective minister. Are we together? And even ultimately, I'm relinquishing my preaching and my teaching time. You know, I mean, I'm relinquishing it already. After like, I don't think it's even up to a year because I think I started. I became pastor last year, August or so. And it's not even up to a year. I'm ready. Around a year, I'm ready relinquishing it. You know, Eventually, you guys will preach, I'll do everything, and I'll be there sitting, looking, and being blessed. Are we together? So that's what it means to have a foundation, right? It takes time. It takes a lot of work. And so you need to learn how to be patient with God. Okay? When God is taking you through a journey, stay on that journey. Don't give up. Are we together? Don't get tired with how God is dealing with you. Okay? Don't run away from God's dealing. You understand? I know people that have run away from God's dealing. Maybe this same preaching issue. They'll not go and look for a church that would appreciate them. You know? A lot of times, we not even have pep talk to accommodate these things. Go to where they'll celebrate you. I mean, now, if people are not celebrating you here, go to where they will celebrate you. And so they will go. You know? Marry someone leaving church because they will give him platform or they will give him pulpit. You understand? Huh? Don't run away from what God is doing with you. Don't run. You know, many people are scared of Jesus. It's a very strange thing, especially ladies. You know, people will be scared of Jesus. They don't want to get close because they're afraid. Because they know that Jesus will come and say, okay, that's like now, maybe Crystal Bell. We don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit can come and tell them, you see that Korean thing that they're watching, you need to reduce it, you know. We don't know, right? And because of that, many people are scared. Many people, they don't want to, there's a way they don't want to pray. There's a level they don't want the prayer to reach because they're like, am I sure? Ah, God. But it's for your good. You have to change. Are we together? Are you guys with me? I think it's hot now. You have to change. Hey, but tap yourself. I have to change. Yeah, you have to change. You have to change. You'll be better for it. I tell you the truth. Are we together? Are you guys following this teaching? I'm going somewhere. So you have to change. Okay? So allow God do that work of laying a foundation. Huh? Allow him do that work. Don't run. Don't settle for less. You know, don't get to a level and say, I'm okay. Don't say, I'm okay. Are we together? Sure. Many people, the moment they just stop sinning, the moment they start doing good things, they are fine with themselves. You know. And we thank God that at least now you know right from wrong, but you can still go further. Okay? Sure. How many of you want to go further? Yeah. There is a great foundation that still needs to be built. God needs to deal with your character. God needs to deal with your generosity. Are we together? God is going to come to some of you, all of you eventually, and say, oh yeah, that's that money that you say you don't want to give, that's the one in church when they are doing offering. If you just know that is the one key you should drop, it will just be choking you. It will just be choking you. Yes. But initially, you plan to give 200. You'll not be making an excuse that actually is you give what you propose in your heart. You'll not be making. I've been there, so I understand it. You get. I remember one guy came to me, very funny guy. He said he had a dream that the moment one money came like that, that he should give it out to someone, you know. He had a dream. And he's not disputing that he had a dream, you know. And then the job actually came and the money came, you know. And then the guy now came to me, was not asking for advice and counsel, that, sir, you know, I just want to know, what should I do in this situation? And he's the one that told me the dream. So he told me the dream. He told me, actually, the money came. And then it was now... I was trying to, you know, very stylish people. Some people, you know, and some of you leaders, as you grow in your life, you need to understand, some people, they will try and use you to get justification because it's like, if Pastor Kenneth can say it, you know, it's okay, you know. But I knew what was going on, so I was like, I'm not going to. I say, what do you want to do? He'll push it back to me. Like, so what do you think? I knew the game I was trying to play. And, you know, so we're fighting the battle. You know. So we're fighting the battle. Eventually, I just said, oh, God, please be true with yourself. You know, all this, you know, just be true with yourself. If you really don't want to give it, just be honest and say, you know. And he said he doesn't want to give it. I said, okay, give the one you want to give. Go and pay your tithes and you'll be fine. And, you know, of course, you'll be fine. But obviously, that God gave him the dream, he has a reason. I get it, right? So, you'll still be fine, though. So, don't run away from your foundation. Those things are very important. All those, go and say sorry. All those things, they are very, very important. Don't use speaking in tongues to hide those things. Don't use powerful service in church to hide those things, you know. Don't think they are okay because you come to church and you are scattering tongues everywhere. No. What is the quality of your relationship with God when nobody is there? Do you understand what I'm saying? What is the quality? What's the quality of your thoughts? What are you thinking? You need to ask God and say, God, this mind, can you just revamp it, please? Please, I beg you, revamp it. It's causing too much pain. Amen. So I said two things. The first thing I said was that life is not a popularity contest. Okay? Second thing I'm saying is that you need to appreciate foundation. Yeah, you need to appreciate it. You need to see, you know, you just need to appreciate the process. God is taking you through a process. I need to appreciate that process. You need to be proud of that process. You need to be proud of the fact that you have a living walk with God. Are we together? I tell you the truth, that's the most important thing in your life. That God is talking to you. You guys are on a journey. That's the most important. That should be the core of your self-esteem. Meaning when you see yourself, what makes you feel good about yourself? I have a relationship with Jesus. Are we together? That's why you'll not be afraid of wise people. You'll not be afraid of rich people. You'll not be afraid of people that are more intelligent than you. You'll be seeing sinners. You'll be pitying them. Are we together? Huh? These are the things that make us stand. If not, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Enjoyment has taken, you know. I tell you the truth. Yeah? But when you have a foundation, what it will mean is that at the core of your esteem, in terms of how you see yourself, it will be Jesus that will be there. It will be Jesus that will be there. What do I have to give the world? Jesus. Not money. Okay? What do I have to give the world? Jesus. I don't give people money again. I mean, on the road. Before I used to, you know. But it's not money I give. I mean, it's Jesus I give. I don't give money. God did not call me to do empowerment. That's not why God called me. Are we together? So, in Matthew 5, verse 48, let's go there. I'll just rush. It says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Can we read it in NLT? Or maybe Amplified or something? Oh, no, we can stay with NKJV. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. Now, I need to introduce this thing because occasionally there are things that we say, especially when we preach, that you might get the wrong perception of what we are trying to say. For instance, if I start preaching about holiness and I say, it's not like you're perfect, but it's like you're on the journey, you know, something like that, right? Now, that's not to say that we don't strive for perfection. Are we together? The reality of, you can come and sit down. The reality of the human condition is carnality, is flesh. And so, because of that, you already have issues with God. Do you understand? All right, you are carnal, you are not like God. You get, if you enter into some places and you do some things, you will offend God. Just because you don't know how, it's like maybe in the kind of house that they don't like it when there's noise. And you're not going, you're shouting. You know, you're just offensive to the house. By your nature, you're just an offensive person to the house. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, God and us are different like that. God is a spiritual person, or God is himself. We are his opposites. We are carnal. That's why God does not respect men. Huh? Are we together? The men, I mean, are men that, for God to respect a man, he has to walk with him and earn his respect. But God does not look at, God is not respecting Obama, you know. They can come and talk and say, blah, blah, blah. God is not moved by it. There's nothing he likes in men. Men are his enemies. Or man, the nature of man is the enemy of God. So, because of that, there are always frailties in us. Meaning, there are always things that God is trying to correct in us. Huh? Christianity is moving from one level of correction to another. Are we together? All right. God doesn't bring all the information at once. Part of the reason why is that the information is too much. You know, if the things in you that are wrong, they could be up to maybe 500, but God will be introducing it step by step. Step by step. So there's no Christian on earth that is not growing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Everybody is growing. There are things, the way God talks to you is the way he talks to me. Do you understand? Like, you need to stop this thing. You know, I have my own. You get my point, right? So we're all on that journey, right? So, however, and because we always need to communicate that, so that you will not feel the pressure of self-righteousness, you know, where if you have issues, you will feel like you are not on good terms with God. So we'd always say things like, it's not like we're saying you should be perfect, all those kind of things. But that's the context in which we talk about not being perfect. Actually, Jesus wants us, as we see in this scripture, to be perfect. In other words, Jesus wants us to be exactly like God. Huh? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Are we together? Yes, sir. I guess you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So perfection is a goal. Are we together? It's not something that has happened immediately. It is a goal. That just as God in heaven is perfect, therefore we shall be perfect. Amen. So it is a goal. It is something that we are striving towards. And perfection is perfection. There's no English around it. Perfection is that as a human being, I'm striving to get to the point where there is absolutely nothing wrong with me. Are we together? Are we together? That I'm striving to get to the point where there is absolutely nothing wrong with me. Every of my thoughts, actions, intents is in complete alignment with God. Huh? And it is possible. Everybody say it is possible. For instance, it is very possible that in your heart now, you know that there is nothing that you are doing that God does not want you to do, or there's nothing you are doing that is offending God. You know, it's possible. It's very possible now. Abby?
Yes, sir.
That is just a level. What I'm talking about is that you can get to a point where actually this human being is perfect. No spots, no blemish, no wrinkle. Amen. So it is possible. Say it again, it's possible.
It's possible.
Hmm? It is possible. Let's go to Hebrews 5. All right, we'll take time. I think we're already kind of done. I'll just say a few more things and then I'll give the announcement I said I wanted to give. Hebrews 5, verse 7. If you're happy to be in church, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Fever, are you okay? Who in the days... Let's go back. Six. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. I remember when I first saw that name, Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So we see here that Jesus went through the same process of perfection. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? Now, what I want to say is very important, so you need to hear what I'm saying. The process of perfection is not in... let's go back to verse 8. Though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Are we together?
Yes,
so, perfection in God's eye is obedience. The journey to perfection in God's eye is not necessarily that you are shining or you are not shining, but rather is that you are obeying me. In other words, if you are growing in obedience to God, you are growing in perfection. Are we together? So, it is not... Why? Because perfection is a process. Also, perfection is done by God. At the end of that process, or rather, the owner of that process is God. God is working it in you. So, what I mean in practical terms is this. To be perfect, is not that you are not making mistakes. To be perfect is that you are obeying God. Do you understand?
Yes,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
right? So, as you are like this now, you are making mistakes. There are things you don't know. Right? Now, from a human perspective, you are not perfect. But that's not how God counts it in terms of perfection. From God's perspective, if you are growing in obedience, you are growing in perfection. Even though the mistakes are still there. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So you might not know mass. You get. You might not know book. It doesn't mean you're not a perfect human being. Or you're not a perfect man. It's not measured in that capacity. You get. Perfection is not that in your exam you must get 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. That's not what God is saying. What God is saying is that through obedience, you will get to perfection. Because ultimately, it is done by God, or rather, it's done by the Spirit of God. Right? So you are made perfect, though. But the way to enter into that reality is that you'll be growing in obedience. So how do you become perfect? Obey God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
It's simple, Abby.
Yes, sir.
It's simple. So nobody should say that, you know, I did not teach you well. This thing I'm telling you, this thing gives people lots of headache. This is your perfection. So how do you become perfect?
Obeying God.
Obeying God. Let's look at this scripture in Amplified. Let me show you. Let's just read it. I think it explains it a lot more. Yeah, verse 8 in Amplified. Although he was a son who had never been disobedient to the father, he learned active special obedience through what he suffered. Hallelujah. Is this a confusing? Huh? Is it confusing? Okay. Are you sure? Okay. So, you see, even Jesus Christ needed perfection. Because Jesus Christ, if you look at Jesus Christ's conduct in life, he doesn't do wrong things. But in the eyes of God, he's not yet perfect. Or he wasn't yet perfect. Until he went through the path that God had for him. Are we together? Are we together? So God had a path for him. Now, on his own, he's equal to God. You get? On his own, he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't talk rashly at people. He doesn't do anything bad. He doesn't steal people's money. Can you imagine Jesus stealing money? Or maybe, and there was a carpenter. He gave him work. He was not running away. You know? Then, maybe he told him to do chair. One leg was now not equal. You know? He wasn't that kind of person. He was a very sound, solid person. Are we together? All right. But that was not yet counted as perfection. Amen.
Amen.
For him to become perfect, he had to go through the trials that God had for him. That was him learning obedience. Are we together? Huh? So he had to go to the cross. He had to go through all the various things that he went through. Why? Because God told him to do it. So it's in that learning obedience that then brought perfection. So Jesus is perfectly like God because he obeys God. Eh? Satan is perfectly unlike God because Satan does not obey God. Are we together? What I mean is that Satan does not want to do God's thing. You have to force him. Are we together? Huh? Satan is not meek and lowly. Yes, he's not. He's not meek and lowly. He's not, yes, Lord, I will do it. You know? You have to fight him. You get my point? All right? So, even though Jesus was, by all human accounts, perfect, in God's eye, he wasn't perfect yet. And the reason why he wasn't perfect yet is that he had not yet gone through the path of obedience. Going through the path of obedience is practical. You have to obey the thing. So, at the end of that journey is then perfection. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Jesus that resurrected is not the same Jesus that died. Okay? Do you understand? The Jesus that died is the sound Jesus that we all know and love. But the Jesus that resurrected is a perfected Jesus. He is exactly like God. Huh? He's exactly like him and God. There's no difference. Like him and God, like the will is 100% synchronized. So what he's thinking is what God is thinking. What he's feeling is what God is feeling. They are synchronized to that level. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's the same work that the Holy Spirit is trying to work in when he's trying to bring commands to you. Is that obedience that allows the work of perfection to take root in you? Or it allows the work of perfection to permeates you. It's simple, Abby. It's that simple. I'm telling you, it is that simple. Obey God. Amen.
Amen.
Obey God. Be quick. You know? You can tell how far the thing is going based on how quick you are to respond to God. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Yes. Be quick. Everybody say, be quick.
Be quick.
Obey God.
Obey God.
It's that simple. That's, you know, God's things are very, very simple. Obey him and perfection will be happening in you. You'll be changing. The fastest way to change is to obey. You get. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So if you want to be perfect, which you should want to be perfect, because Jesus wants you to be perfect like God. The way to be perfect is to grow in obedience. Are we together? You should count it a special joy and privilege when the Holy Spirit is troubling you, because the Holy Spirit is not troubling everybody. Don't take that thing for granted. Okay?
Yes,
are we together?
Yes,
don't think you have won the Holy Spirit. You have never won the Holy Spirit. You are just giving up. But you are not a serious person. But nobody has ever won the Holy Spirit. You cannot convince God otherwise. He's not an unserious person. If he says, I don't want you to lick that sweet anymore, but it's sweet. There are vitamins in it. You're not saying, okay, I actually didn't think about that though. You make a good point. You know, they don't have it in them to be like that. Are we together? These are not normal people we are dealing with though. Okay? So just be like lamb. Huh? Decide that, okay, in this life it's about slaughtering. Oh Lord, how much more can you slaughter me? How much more? I'm ready. You get. Are we together? Because I tell you the truth. God will slaughter you. And it's the level. You know, you teach from your level. You know, Deep One is hyped, you know, when he was talking about sacrifice. You know, what he didn't tell you is that the real sacrifice is you yourself. You know? Eventually, at first, you'll be sacrificing fasting and prayer. Eventually, you are the one that will not sacrifice. And that sacrifice, you do it willingly. You know? No compulsion. You can't do, if you do that compulsion, they'll tell you, go back. You know? You'll be like goat. You tie your rope yourself. You enter it. You now go. You now lie down. Yeah, kill me. Eventually, that's the one that will begin to happen. You get. Amen. So you have to conclude that this life, just be slaughtering me, Lord. Which one is coming next? Amen. Oh, God. It's such a fantastic experience working with God. Huh? It will change. I tell you the truth. It will change. I understand. You will change. Amen. So you sacrifice yourself. You know, Jesus, he learned, and the way they put it, learned active special obedience through what he suffered, through what God put him through. So let's go to Matthew 19. I want to talk about 19 from verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment. Now please note this thing. If you want to enter into life, Abi, keep the commandment. What did the guy come and ask? He said, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus has answered him already. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Jesus has answered him already. If you want this life, keep the commandments. Let's go on. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Huh? And before we go on, I need to understand that this answer that Jesus gave, Jesus was not playing with this guy. This was a real answer. It wasn't like he was trying to wind his head or something. So the answer to his question, Jesus has actually told him the answer to his question, which is true, because in the word of God is life. In other words, if you want to have access to the life of God, you have to obey what is in the word of God. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if you obey, like now, like you now, if you honor your father, if you do all these things, you too, you will enjoy life. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Hallelujah. Now, this is similar to Jesus' story in the sense that we have a young man who is very rare to find a man who actually, according to that law, he's perfect. Okay? Because this rich young ruler, according to the law, he too was not lying. You know, he obeys that law to the letter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. And that's why he said that, look, see, I've been doing all these things since. What do I still lack? Right. Now, that's similar to Jesus. Remember we were talking about Jesus, that though he was a son, you know, meaning that Jesus was in a state. Jesus, too, was like this when he was young. Do you get my point? Jesus did not break the law. Nobody can come and pinpoint one time where Jesus maybe dishonored his father. You get that kind of thing, right? So Jesus too, according to the law, Jesus too was perfect, meaning he did the law to the letter. But the master said, one thing do I lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. So what did Jesus tell him? And give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, one of the sad things about lack of understanding is, anyway, we'll go on. So let's go on. 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, you see, one of the things about obedience is that for obedience to work, the level to which you can obey God is the level to which you are attached to this world. Hallelujah. Because obeying God means that you go contrary to how this world works. Huh? This world has its language, or it has its rules. Huh? For instance, nobody has told you, but a lot of you have it as a heart ambition to build a house. Have you now? Nobody for one day went to tell you that the ambition, the purpose of life is to build a house, but a lot of us have it as a heart ambition and want to build a house. Why you want to build a house, you really don't even know. You think you know. Are we together? Are we together? Because eventually, you know, in Nigeria, people will build house. When they get old, they will leave the house and go and rent apartment. Yeah. Because the house is empty. All the children have left. So you build mansion, 5-6 bedrooms. All the children will pack up and leave. Then you'll not be only you in the house, 6 bedroom. At night, you'll not be hearing voice. You know? You'll not be only just you in one big house like that. Most elderly people, they will not sell that one. They will not go and live in one bedroom. Only them. Especially maybe if they now become widows or something like that, you know. Because that's what... So most people build houses and the houses will just waste. You know, and I'm not saying you should not build houses, so please don't hear me wrong. But you understand my point, right? Most people do things and... Now, most people in the drive of building a house, people are not thinking that, will I need this house in 60 years? You know, people don't think like that. It's just, I want to build this house. I've arrived. Yeah. So... There are rules to which we live life, you know. And if you want to obey God, at the level with which you want to obey God, what I'm saying is a little bit high. It's a little bit high, but just hear me. It's not high in terms of understanding. It's high in terms of brokenness. It's not everybody that can hear these things. Now, at the level of... Your level of obedience is based on how much of desire you still have in this world. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. This young man is, I like this guy. This guy's a very good guy. He's a very sincere person in his heart. You know, when your heart is encumbered with, you see, the heart, when your heart is encumbered with a focus on the earth, what will happen is that it will set a limit to how much of God you can obey. That thing that I said of you eventually going to offer yourself as a sacrifice willingly, you will not be able to do it. Because God will eventually want you to make a shift that is too difficult for your comfort zone. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
God will always want you to shift in a way that is too off from where you are comfortable with. And you can't make that shift if you've not willingly laid down your life. And you cannot willingly lay down your life if your heart is fixated on the world. So if your heart is fixed on possessions, if your heart is fixed on materialism, that's the word I want to use. Huh? What did I say? Materialism, material things, where you put value on things. Value is not on things, value is on God. Are we together?
Yes,
things don't make you more valuable. I am not more valuable because of the amount of my watch. It's not a life ambition to wear Rolex. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
It's not a sign that God is now blessing me, that I can now afford Rolex. And it's not a sign that I'm not blessed, that I'm afford. What's my watch? Kimei. I don't even know that watch. I don't even know that watch. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't even know that watch now. You don't know it? SKM. Ah, okay. At least that's the one I'm wearing. You know, it's not, there's no value on it. It's just a thing. We can have it, we cannot have it. And if you have it, we can enjoy it. But that's not a life ambition. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Now, when the heart, you know, thank you, you know, this word materialism, that's really the word. That's really the word. When the heart is materialistic, there's nothing like too materialistic. Any ounce of materialism is damaging. But when the heart is materialistic, it sets a limit to how much of God you can obey. It'll be easy. See, it'll be easy. Stop watching TV. You'll be doing that one. If, when it comes to your life, you will just shut the thing down. You will not be able to proceed. Are we together? Are we together? You will not be able to proceed because of the materialism. You will judge God based on material things. You will judge Him blessing you based on material things. And it will create that boundary. So that's why Jesus Christ told him to sell all that he has, because the only way you can deal with materialism is to let it go. You really have to let it go. Okay? Now, I'll explain what letting it go means. I don't mean you can. I'm letting, you know, I'll explain what it means briefly. Let's continue. 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you," where's Mr. Arima? Okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." I remember when I was younger, people used to argue so much about this verse. You know, they would say the needle is camel, you know, arguing pointless. Let's go on. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so when I was younger, you know, even till now, people arguing that that needle, because you know, typically in your Nigerian sense, when you read that, you think that thing is needle thread, you know. But then people now start saying, no, it's not true. That the needle is actually like a gate that camel can go down, enter the gin and come out. So it's not that small. It's big, small, you know. So it's a pointless point. The point is that it's hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Are we together?
Yes,
can you say that again? It is hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Say it to us. Yes, and there's a reason why. Let's go on. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Okay? So it is hard for rich people to enter the kingdom of God when God is not there. Are we together? When God is there, it is no longer hard. Okay? And it's very simple. It's very simple. We've already said that in order for you to obey God, well, you have to be less materialistic. Are we together? In the order of men, when you remove God, riches is for materialism. You get my point? So without God, the more money you acquire, you are going to be buying things that will be taking you far from God. You get my point? Right? Are we together? So that's just it. It's that simple. With men, it is impossible. Okay? But with God, all things are possible. Now you understand a little bit more about this as we go on. 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Can we go back to 28, please? So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So the answer to their question, number one, is that you people will rule like me, okay? Now, Abinah.
Yes.
Now, the answer to that question, the second, you know, the answer is in various layers. So the first layer of the answer, that as I've left all of these things, what is in it for me, is a completely spiritual thing. It has nothing to do with physical money. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? In other words, the reward for this level of obedience is not physical first. The reward is first spiritual. Are we together? God is not an able man. He's not like, "Oh God, if I do this thing, you will make me rich." That's a toned down understanding of God. God's first reward is that he will propel you into your destiny. Are we together? So the reward for obedience is destiny. In other words, what God has called you to become, you will attain it. Are we together? So is it why it's not? Because if your mind is first on return, and, you know, propelling you into destiny, men don't like it. So people will not hype you. Are we together? Like now, just last week, someone told me, "Can I, this one here in Nigeria, are you not going to Japa?" You get, according to the way of man, the sensible thing for me to do is to leave this Nigeria. This country is, I can't talk bad when the presence of God, but this country is the way it is. You get my point, right? Are we together?
Yes,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
so I can't, if I see following God as good life, I will have left this country since. But it has not entered into my thinking at all, because the reward for obedience is not better life. It is my destiny. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? So, by obeying God, God is going to propel me into my destiny. And so, I have to have died at a level to worldliness and materialism. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, that's all I want to say. All these things I'm saying. That the way to be perfect is to obey God. And the way to build the obedience is to kill materialism. Are we together? After, in verse 29, he now says you get 100-fold, meaning that eventually, when you are propelled into your destiny, you will now have another version of the same prosperity that you forsook. So, actually, nobody is going to lose spiritually and physically. Do you get my point? And in fact, that's even when you have the license, because it's 100-fold, meaning it's not about the size. It's 100-fold. It's more like the quality of it. It's not money that will kill you. Do you get my point? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So in church, we'll be doing like we're talking two things. This is how we are talking it. We'll be pursuing spiritual things. At the same time, we'll now come and say, you guys are going to be very rich. And the reason why I'll say you guys are going to be very rich is because we know it's a must. I'll be shocked if you are not multimillionaire. I'll be shocked. I'll say, what happened? You people stop praying or something. Get my normal thinking is that you people are going to be very rich. But that's not the testimony. The testimony is that, firstly, you are being pushed into your destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay? You are being pushed into your destiny. Get my point? And you get that as a reward for obedience. And that's how you are perfect. Can we just say a short word of prayer? Just talk to God. I want you to ask God for mercy and say, Lord, I step into a higher level of obedience. Ask him for mercy. You need mercy to walk with Jesus. Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy. I step into a higher level of obedience, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name I've prayed.
Amen.
All right. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for talking to us. How many of you are blessed? We are blessed with you. All right, cool.